You're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network of podcasts.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Cinema Geeks. I am one of your Cinema Geeks, Optimus Solo, and joining me today is Hard Candy Mandy.
Hey.
Movie Revolt Dan.
Hey.
And Friendly Scent.
Hey.
We are here and we are jumping back into one of our ongoing movie series, and that is the video game film series. Everybody can applaud and get excited about that. We are today talking about the 2007 French-American-British action thriller entitled Hitman, directed by Xavier Gens or Jens, written by Skip Woods, based on the Hitman video game, starring Timothy Oliphant and a few other people that I've never heard of. This came out November 21st, 2007. And like we normally do in the video game film series of podcasts, we will start by talking about everybody's exposure to the Hitman video games. Amanda, did you ever play the Hitman games?
No.
Any knowledge of what they were like?
I saw a clip of some kids playing the game in the movie.
Excellent. Dan, how about you?
I did play Hitman growing up. I didn't play everyone. I think there's a couple ones, and I think a new version just came out for Xbox One, or at least whatever current generation we're on right now. I did enjoy them. I feel like it was around the time when I was getting into that type of game. There was Splinter Cell, and it was a big push, at least from my memory serves me, for like stealth based games or like. But Hitman also had the component where you could like also just go crazy. Like I always kind of confused Hitman and like Max Payne, the gameplay in my mind sometimes. They weren't my favorite games, but I think they're always like I enjoy just how you can kind of both be like either stealthy or kind of just go crazy. So
it's funny that you mentioned Max Payne, because our version of how we watched Hitman is on a DVD 3-pack that includes Max Payne. So
what is the third movie? That's
Babylon AD.
Man. That is a 3-pack right there.
So yeah,
I thought it was a solid purchase, my friends. I thought it was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Matt, what about you? Any exposure to the Hitman video games?
Yeah, a lot. I think I've played most of them, but the one I played the most is Hitman 2: Silent Assassin. I've played through that entire game more than once, and I would say almost masterful at it, definitely, especially on the first level. I had it down where I could get the Silent Assassin rating, which if you did it got you his main weapon, or like his signature weapon, is the ballers, these two pistols that are so strong they can pin a guy to the wall as long as you keep shooting. If you beat the first level at the best stealth level, you get those with silencers on them. It's just pretty cool.
Excellent. So obviously, Dan and Matt, you guys are the ones with the video game knowledge as far as this particular topic goes. So how well do you feel the movie captured the feel of the video game?
No, not at all.
Yeah, like I don't remember the story at all. But like the stealth element, it did not feel. It felt like more like an intimidation, but a copy of like the Bourne, like very influenced by like the Bourne films, more so than the Hitman video games.
Matt, you agree?
Yeah, like it seemed almost like a less good version of the Transporter, where it should have been closer to like Mission Impossible 1 or something.
Yeah, interesting. So not a very decent replication of the game, according to you guys. I have not played the games, just like Amanda, so I couldn't speak on that. So let's get right down to the nitty-gritty then. Let's get into the discussion of the movie as a movie, a film itself. Now remember, we are coming off of the heels of watching Postal. I don't know if that is influencing anybody's entertainment value from watching Hitman or not. We'll have to wait and see. So how did it work as a film for you overall, Matt?
I mean, it wasn't as bad as the last one that we watched, or any Uwe Boll movies. Like, like it does some things. It does things that I like as a concept, but I wouldn't say that like it was engaging.
Interesting. Not engaging for Matt. I believe you were also saying off air that it was not maybe memorable.
Not memorable. Like I remember certain things about it, but like just, and they're all things that are either like I liked that or I didn't like that. For the most part, I couldn't tell you like who the enemies were. Now that I'm 100% sure, at the end.
Yeah, and we were going to record this episode, I think like a week, maybe 2 weeks ago. I don't know about you guys, but I watched it, you know, way back then. I didn't rewatch it or anything like that. So I agree with you guys. Like, I watched this, whatever it was, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and I was trying to remember a single detail about the movie today as we were getting ready to record. I'm like looking through my notes and trying to place things. I actually had to go back and read an entire plot synopsis of the film to remind me of the film that I watched less than 3 weeks ago. So I think the biggest thing for me is it's just not memorable. There's nothing about this film that stands out. Is it a better made film than the Uwe Boll films that we've been watching? You know, I guess, but I don't know if there's anything that would relatively make this film like towards the top echelon of the video game films we've seen. I think Amanda's disagreeing with me though, so let me jump right to her first.
I don't know what you guys are hating on this so bad for. I liked it. I've seen this several times. I think it's pretty memorable, in my eyes anyways, because I enjoyed it. I think there's some pretty badass stuff that he does. And I don't think that there's a lot of spice to this as far as, you know, trying to figure out the whodunit or who's the bad guy or whatever. Everybody's a bad guy. Everybody's against him. So it's kind of this play between fun gadgetry and fighting and just staying alive and connecting with somebody for the first time probably ever. So I really enjoyed it.
Dan, maybe you can elaborate better than myself or Matt were, since we were trying to remember the movie just in general. What about it for you either made it good or bad?
I think I'm some place in between Amanda and you guys. Like I thought it was like perfectly adequate. Like perfectly might be a strong word, but I don't know if it's just coming off of Postal, but it was nice just having a movie that had normal issues and like some problems, but I honestly, looking at the movies we've gone through, it probably would rank, of all the video game films, mind you, that we've talked to about, near the top for me. I guess maybe I was in the mood for kind of a mindless action film, which this is, and I thought some of the action sequences were, you know, sometimes I didn't really understand the point of them, but at least were executed well enough. For example, there is this kind of crazy, which I still like, fight between all the different hitmen, which I'm still not really understanding why they were all kind of going after one another in the, how the plot kind of figured out. But I thought like that was kind of fun. Like this close quarters, like sword fight for some reason. But, and I'm a huge Timothy Olyphant fan because I love Justified. This is necessarily a character that fits really what he does well. Like his best tough guy is more the nonchalant, laid back, not necessarily kind of the ruthless. I like some of the ruthless aggression I didn't get as much, but I still liked him enough. And you know, and like the plot between story between him and the, like, you know, the typical female character that gets thrown in here was disappointing, but overall, when it came to just to general, you know, action scenes, I thought it was paced well enough, and, you know, like, it at least, I think, was competently made. Like, there weren't, like, glaring problems or anything. Like, I was never shaking my head in disbelief or thinking, well, this is really awful. Like, I would think, like, I would rate, I felt like I enjoyed this much more than the Tomb Raider movies. I thought, yeah, it was overall more enjoyable. My bigger issues is just, like, I felt like plot became overly complicated, and like it seems like for the hitman, like, they went a long way to do very little. The villains in this, like, it seemed to really, like, why they needed to turn on him in order to, like, to assassinate this guy, but they also wanted to not not to give anything away, but it seemed like it wasn't the best way to draw things out. But you know, as like one of those general like action films you see in the middle of Saturday afternoon on basic cable, you know, you could do worse.
Matt, are they painting us in the wrong corner? Because I don't know if I was necessarily hating on the film. I was just saying that I didn't find it necessarily like memorable. Like there was nothing that like is going to stick with me about the film. As far as like years and years from now, I'm not going to remember anything about like what happened in the film.
Are you going to remember anything from these video game movies?
I'm going to remember how bad some of them are. Yes, but I'm saying I'm not necessarily.
I guess not memorable is an improvement. So, maybe that's,
but yeah. I'm just saying that I don't think there's anything that's going to be like sticking with me long term. But I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I think it's made competently, which puts it like light years ahead of half the films that we've already talked about. So I didn't necessarily hate the film.
I don't think, like, Timothy Olyphant being bald, I think, is always going to stick with me, because it still seems weird to me, but that's...
Matt, I'll give you a chance to react.
I'm right there with you. Like, I feel like this movie, it was bland, but it wasn't bad. Like, it's in a weird spot where it's almost too good to watch with a bunch of people to make fun of, although that moment where they're like, hey, we've all got guns, but what if swords instead? Like that scene, like people would have been jumping on couches and stuff. But other than that, like it's just like, I don't know. It's kind of okay. It's an okay movie. It's not as bad as most of the stuff we've watched, but it's not good enough that I'm like glad I never saw it in theaters.
Yeah. I did like the line about the anus of the third world. I thought that was a clever line that they threw in there. I got a question about how doubles work, because I understand that you can have doubles that like look like another person. How do they pull off the voice part?
Jeff Dunham. They get Jeff Dunham.
And I had like very limited notes for this, but my first note that I wrote down was, why isn't this movie starring Keanu Reeves? Because I just feel like this is the exact type of film that he has become known for. Like, I feel like this is right up his alley. Like, he could have easily played this part, but then we wouldn't have got bald Timothy Olyphant. So
I would be interested in watching, because there's not a sequel, but like the remake or what have you, which I have not watched, that came out like last year or 2 years ago. I'd be curious to see like how much that differs compared to this.
I like the original, this one better, I think, than Agent 47. I think Agent 47 had bigger production value and like, you know, bigger effects. But I really liked Timothy Olyphant as the hitman here, so I'm not sure.
Who played him in the sequel?
Nobody I've ever seen before.
Oh, okay.
It's a guy, he's from Homeland. I can't think of his name. I can find out, though.
Interesting. Just for those that are curious as far as how the film fared back in 2007, the budget for the original Hitman here was $24 million, and its worldwide box office was $100 million. So it did well at the box office, did not do well when it came to critical reception, currently holding a 14% on Rotten Tomatoes, and most major places were not too nice about it. Roger Ebert, I guess he was kind of a little bit more positive. He gave it 3 stars out of 4, and his quote was, "Hitman stands right on the threshold between video games and art. On the wrong side of the threshold, but still, give it credit." That was his quote about the the film. So, I don't know. I think it's a little bit of box office success, not so much critical response success. But, like I said, I think it's definitely better than at least half of the films we've watched, if not more. Dan, you know, you're saying it might be in the top threshold of the films we've covered. I haven't gone through necessarily and ranked them recently. I had them early on list, but I need to go back to it. So I'm not sure where it's exactly going to fall, but I think it's in line with some of the other ones that we have watched for sure. I know you mentioned like Tomb Raider, and there's probably a couple other ones in that realm that are kind of similar vein, but it kind of might be up to the personal preference as far as which one you like better or worse. Amanda, obviously you're probably maybe the highest slightly on this one compared to the rest of us. So what other things do you did you really like, or what kind of puts you over the edge for Hitman?
Oh man, I think that That's kind of what puts it over the edge as far as me liking it.
Yeah, like, I mean, because you seem like you're higher on it than maybe some of the other video game films we've covered. So what makes you a fan of this particular video game adaptation?
I got a note here. Swords, guns, bombs, and tech. All right, that's why I like this movie. he's not about ladies. He's about that murder life. And I dug it.
I mean, he does have a major sidekick that is a lady.
I mean, sidekick or tag along?
Either, I guess, semantics.
I mean, I would have liked more about, like, a mission instead of maybe her saving her as the mission. But, you know, I kind of get what they were doing, making it, you know, about how he's so detached from everything based on, like, his upbringing and his training and his raising in the field that he's in. So I thought it was kind of, I don't know what to call it, like a juxtaposition. And I thought that that was a nice touch for them to kind of throw that in there, even though it was distracting and could have done without it.
Would you be up for more Hitman films?
Yeah, I mean, I saw the Agent 47, and I, you know, I wasn't, like, blown away by it, but, I mean, I dug it. I liked the genre, and I liked action, so it was cool. I like hand-to-hand combat. We saw some really awesomely choreographed, you know, fights in this, and I don't think it ever really took itself too seriously either, which is nice.
Dan, what do you think of that Roger Ebert quote? Do you think that's a fair assessment, that it's right on the threshold between video games and art, on the wrong side of the threshold, but still give it credit?
Yeah, I do think the director did try to put some flair and some, you know, artistic attempts at, you know, shot composition into the movie, outside of just, like, you know, to try to make it into something more than was it really competent in doing that? I'm not really certain. And to clarify, the person who played Agent 47 was Rupert Friend, a friend or find, who's in the new one. But I think ultimately what weighs this movie down is kind of just a really generic script that just becomes really plotted, especially when you have, like, the B story of the Interpol and the back and forth with kind of, like, the Russian agents, and how that takes up such a huge chunk of the film. I really think a lot of that, I mean, you know, it comes to play in the end, but it did, as Matt mentioned, it did very much remind me of kind of the similar plot, and you see, like, Transporter 1 and 2. It just, I think that was where it kind of lacked, like, pretty much any of the side characters seemed very stereotypical and really served nothing besides moving the plot forward. So while there may have been, you know, stylistically more to it than some of the other films, I think it still needs a better script for it to actually be considered a complete film.
Matt, just one question for you. I mean, we talked about in the introduction, Dan was mentioning it, as far as, like, when the video games are concerned, that maybe the Hitman video game series is not necessarily that iconic, or you know, it kind of is in a big forest of games that are similar to that, kind of at that time period where we had a lot of those stylistic games. Is the video game somewhat, I guess, paralleling the movie, where it's kind of the same thing, where it's like in a group of video game films where it just kind of is there and it doesn't necessarily, you know, break down any boundaries and give us, like, a fantastic, you know, jaw-dropping event, but it's there and it's serviceable just like the game series was? Or what do you think?
All right. Let me try to get through all that. I think that Hitman, like it became really popular to do these stealth and stealth-like games right then, right? Like, mm-hmm. you had your Hitman, your Splinter Cell, your Thief, Deus Ex. There were plenty of games that came out. But, like, they all had something unique about them, right? Like most of them were set in modern day, but Thief was in medieval times. Deus Ex was set in the near future where there were cybernetics, and so you could get almost superpowers. And Hitman, like, the way that you could play that game where you could either just rush the door and I've got stronger guns and I've got dodge and I'm going to win, or, like, literally the way you can play just the first level, right? They gave the first level out on a demo disc before the game ever came out, and I played it probably 100 times, and one time, you garrote wire a flower delivery guy, you grab all of his clothes, you grab the flowers, you come in, you try to deliver flowers to the front door to this mafioso, but you can hide your gun in the flowers. Or a guard goes behind a building to take a leak, you hit him up with some chloroform, you steal his suit, now you're a guard, you can wander the grounds. There's so many different options in this game that the other games, in Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell, literally it's you round corners, you stay into the shadows, and you've got your weapons on you. I don't think you don't ever change guns, you don't ever change clothes. So though this genre was huge at that time, each one set itself apart. So I don't think it's an apt comparison, because this thing did not set itself apart from the rest of the video game movies, other than it had a really weird sword scene.
I think maybe to me, a 14% or whatever I said it was on Rotten Tomatoes, I feel like that's a lot of reviews that were probably just at the borderline. I feel like a lot of people probably were giving it just not quite enough of a score to make that a positive score. But I think it's much different than a 14% where everybody gave the film a 1 or a 2 out of 10 or something like that. You know what I mean? I feel like it's a bunch of people that were giving it 4.5 or 5. You know what I mean? They just weren't quite scoring it high enough for it to score well on Rotten Tomatoes system. But I could be completely wrong. So let's do some scoring ourselves then and find out where all of us are. So final thoughts and grade for Hitman, starting with Hard Candy Mandy.
I mean, this dude was... he was a badass. I liked what he did. I was entertained by the movie. I'd watch it again. I have watched it several times. I'm going to continue to want to watch it. It's like what Dan said, a good mindless action movie to just chill to. I enjoyed it, especially in comparison to a lot of these other video game films. I'm going to be super high on this. But as far as film rating goes, I think maybe a 7.
7? All right. Dan, what about you?
And to clarify what I meant when we were talking about the games, it wasn't necessarily, I think, the games themselves. It was more so just in my head where I would kind of combine a lot of those.
Oh, okay.
A lot of those similar games, because it's been such a long time since I played them. But yeah, just kind of to beat a dead horse. As I mentioned, I think there are bits in here that I think a lot of the other comic book movies we talked about failed because it was either cash grab and they were trying to just make something, catch while the iron is hot, or you had a really huge miscommunication between what the source material was and what the director was trying to do with something like Mario, or you just had Uwe Boll, who's just clearly not even trying. I think there is an attempt here, and perhaps it's not the vision of the game specifically, but I do think there was an attempt to try to at least stay in the same framework, even if they kind of went off on their own path. Usually when people talk about video games, they say they're all awful. I think this is by no means awful. And it's watchable, but it's not necessarily one that I would ever want to watch again. I do have interest in seeing the sequel, so that does say something to me. Though, funny story with this. Sorry, I'm
go for it.
Speaking, but I was actually, to be fair, I was watching this while running on the treadmill, and I just thought it'd be an action film. I was not expecting there to be a sex scene with nudity at all in this movie, and I just was I felt I need to hide my phone because people are gonna think I'm some weirdo watching unnecessary stuff on the treadmill. So I was I thought they were gonna cut away. And they didn't.
Interesting scene. So what's your score?
Score wise, I think all in the realm of video game movies, as we're grading on a curve for that, I would say 7. As a general film, I'd probably go 5 or 6. But in the realm of video game reviewing, comparing it to this genre, if you want to call it that, I'll say 7.
All right, Matt, they're both in the 7 range. Where do you go with this one? And any other thoughts that you didn't get out?
Oh, man. So I'm going to keep harping on that sword fight scene. It makes no sense. And what's extra confusing is he's being chased by a dude in a suit, and then he gets pulled, a guy pulls a gun on him, and it's a dude in the suit. I was like, is that the same dude? And then they're like, what if we settle this with swords for no reason? And they're like, okay.
It's about honor and, like, ass kickery. And they're like, yeah, we could shoot each other, but let's, like, fight like real men and whip out these swords and punch each other and slice each other up.
But like,
or it became Highlander, and we just didn't.
There can be only one hitman.
Here's the thing: like, if everyone in this organization is trained to fight with swords, and that's how they fight each other, like it's guns for the normies because the normies aren't deserving of our honor and time, and swords for our brothers. Like, I don't know, maybe set that up somewhere in the first third of the movie so that there's a logic and sense to it. Like it doesn't.
They were coming after him because he went against their organization and he, like, veered from their orders or whatever. And so they were all sent to eliminate this potential, like, exposure to their organization. But they were all, you know, they have this, obviously they have some kind of honor amongst them that, you know, they're going to take the time to kill each other a different way.
I thought they were hunting him because someone just took a hit out on him, like, and by someone I mean that dictator, but like, which again, like, the whole motives behind that, where it's like, why don't we just assassinate the dictator and then, like, we cut away to a different story because, like, that dictator can then just be like, oh no, it was a double, and then that guy's taken over the government, and then, like, it doesn't really matter and this organization doesn't really care, like. So I don't know why people are getting involved. But anyway.
We're trying to figure out the plot of Hitman too hard.
It's just, someone should have wrote it rather than whatever happened.
I do feel like there are major chunks of this movie that have been removed. Like that whole sequence you're talking about. I feel like there is, like, a C plot there that we are not aware of that fills in a lot of those blanks. It does feel like that.
And that's very possible, and that's, you know, a problem with Hollywood sometimes, is you shoot a 3-hour movie and then you gotta cut it down. Like, there are things that I like. I like the interaction between Hitman and the lady. The idea of, like, the aggressive female isn't used enough in Hollywood. They're always like. Because, like, she starts off as a damsel, and then she starts to try to take over her own world and make her own choices, and, like, I like that. I think that was well done. But I don't get why he seems to act like he's never, like, he can't even talk to a human, like, when he should be able to, like, if you're an assassin, you should be able to sneak in, like, maybe, you know, get into a dinner party and play it off, but, like, I don't think he's capable of doing that. I don't know. I just don't quite know what they were doing. Like, it's definitely, like, a 6. Like, if we're grading on a curve, it's a lot better than most things we've seen. Like, but it's also, I don't know, I wish it were a little bit better or a little bit worse.
You know what was a 10? Was all his suits and stuff. Like, even some of, like, the subtle, like, he always had a red tie, but there were, like, subtle, like, elegant differences to his ties. And he walked in barefoot in no jacket or anything, and then walked out in, like, a tailored suit and a dress coat, and it was amazing.
I'm not giving it extra points because the guy buys a suit in the middle of the movie.
But it was a cool fucking suit. He's always got a bomb-ass suit on.
And you know what, though? Reservoir Dogs has, like, 9 suits in it.
Yeah, but they're all the same lame-ass suit. Like, it's not even, like... like, I think, like, 12-year-old boys probably wear that suit to their grandpa's funeral. Like, that's how it is.
So you're giving bonus points for the GQ-ness.
Yeah.
All right.
Always gotta do that.
For the record, Skip Woods, the writer for this film, other credits belonging to him, Hitman, X-Men Origins Wolverine, The A-Team, A Good Day to Die Hard, and Sabotage. So that is his filmography.
A Good Day, is that number 4 with the...
That's the one from 2013.
Just the hacking. No, that's when they go to Russia. He's got a thing for Russia, I guess.
He did do a little bit of additional dialogue for Live Free or Die Hard as well, but not the sole screenwriter on that one, so... Don't know, and if you see the picture of him, it is... Everybody go ahead and Google Skip Woods.
That's not what I thought.
So
John Skipper Woods.
John Skipper Woods does not look like the brightest candle in the birthday cake.
He looks like he's trying to be slick, but he can't.
Anyways, not that what you look like has anything to do with your ability to write, but just a funny picture that they have on the Wikipedia page for him. For me, I like I said, I don't know. Like, I did this, wish this had just a little bit more of something to make it a little bit more memorable for me. But I think, like we said, and like we kind of beat, you know, over and over again, it's way better than most of the stuff we've seen.
I think you're being too critical on a video game film.
I said it's better than most of the stuff we've seen.
But you're still like, where are we?
It's still just kind of there. It's there. It's like not bad. It's not good for me. So I'm going to give it like a 6.
Are you expecting it to be like a Jason Bourne film? It's based on a fucking video game.
One day we will get a good video game film.
You could base something on something and it be good. Like, just because it's based on a video game doesn't mean you need to not try.
According to all these other fucking movies we've seen, not the case.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm right in that 6 range, 5-6, but I'll give it a 6. So, like I said, above average for me in this realm of things that we're talking about. So that does it for Hitman, our next up in the video game series that we were going to cover. And what's after this one? Anybody have the video game films memorized yet?
Max Payne?
I think it's Max Payne, isn't it? I could be wrong.
That would make sense since we're talking about how much it's like that as far as it's combo pack DVD. We won't even have to get a new DVD out. It's already in the player. So Max Payne might be the next one out. We'll have to verify that. So if you're enjoying the video game series that we've been doing, obviously let us know. Comment on the website, www.geekcastradio.com, and find the episode post there and leave us a comment. We'll definitely interact with you. You can also let us know how you're liking the series or just the show in general by going to iTunes and leaving us a review. If you do leave a review for us on iTunes before the finale of the video game series, you will automatically be entered into a contest to win a 6-pack of video game films, combination DVD and Blu-ray in that assortment. So if you want to be entered, go write us an iTunes review and then let us know what you think of the show. Also, obviously, we have other things going on. We just recently finished our top 100 films of all time, so if you didn't get a chance to check that out and you want to know kind of our taste in movies, go back and listen to a few episodes of that. You can hear our top 10 personal favorite films of all time. We also somewhat recently finished the Hayao Miyazaki spotlight, so you can go back through that catalog if you're interested in hearing our thoughts on his filmography. And we are also in the midst of starting a new director retrospective on Kevin Smith. So if you're a Kevin Smith fan, or if you need an excuse to watch all of Kevin Smith's films again, or maybe for the first time, obviously stay tuned and look for those episodes as they'll be hitting the site very soon. You can also interact with us through Twitter. The show handle is at CinemaGeekCast. Our individual Twitters, which you can reach out to us as well with. Amanda, what's your Twitter?
At HardCandyMandy, eyes, no eyes.
Dan, what's your Twitter?
At MovieRevolt.
Matt?
I am at FridleySent.
And mine is at OptimusSolo. Also, if you are a fan of Letterboxd, the website where you can log all of your movies and make lists and stuff like that, I know, Dan, you and myself have done a couple lists based on some of the things we've done before. So if you want to see our own personal rankings of different things, I know you've done like a Marvel ranking. I recently put out the Hayao Miyazaki ranking that we did. And there's a bunch of other rankings that you can check out there, too, if you're interested in kind of seeing some more of our movie taste. You can do that. Otherwise, that is it for this week. Tune in next time for another chance to listen to The Cinema Geek.